The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
Part of being a program director at Radio Memphis is making sure the personalities are doing what they should. Now, while I was performing an air check of Dee's live show, Radio Memphis Around the World, I managed to stumble onto an interesting conversation she had about the business. Check this out. With everyone else.
There you have it. That was a double shot from a brand new band that is hitting our library right here at Radio Memphis Around the World. You're hanging out with me, Dee, right here on this Saturday, December the 29th. Preston Mecco out of the UK. And that right there is some fantastic music off Here's to the Fatigue album. And of course, one you just heard right there. I mean, this stuff, guys, I am going absolutely insanely crazy for, okay? Insanely crazy. All places in it all, okay? And right before that is White Knuckling. And I tell you, man, as soon as I got this in my hands, as soon as I started listening to this album, I literally put it in my truck, all right, and I was driving around. I did not take it out for 3 days. And I let this album play from front to back several times. It is that fantastic. And the way I was able to get my hands on this cool music was they made sure they actually put it in the hands of one of the guys, you know, in the road crew for Shinedown while they were out, okay, doing their thing, and they were actually out and they were able to do some opening slots for Shinedown while Shinedown was last at the UK doing this last tour. And, you know, they made his way, shows up right here in Radio Memphis. And this is just proof, man. You never know who knows who. You never know who's paying attention to who. You never, never, never know. So this right here, I'm expecting some fantastic stuff. You know, this is some cool things. You guys look for PrestonMecco.com. You can also find them on Marshall Records, all right? This is a brand spanking new band that has really kind of made their mark, you know, trying to come out this year. And this is one of those things where you're going to want to pay attention. They have not really gotten out of the UK as of yet, all right? But they are going to be doing some dates, all right? So here, and I know that I'm looking at some of their stuff on their website. Starting in February 1st, they've got a slew of shows that are taking them all through February and going into March. And I know that some of these shows that they're going to be doing are actually going to be acoustic. Now, mind you, this is a three-piece band, okay? What you just heard is coming from three pieces right here. And, you know, this right here is, you know, the sound is absolutely insane. It's, you know, it's amazing. But I know they've got some, you know, several days that they're actually going to be doing. And so you guys, you definitely want to kind of jump in on that. You know, for instance, they're going to be at West End Center on February 1st in Aldershot. They're going to be in the rescue rooms, I know, on February the 25th in Nottingham. I know on February 26th, they're going to be in Leeds, okay, at the Hyde Park Book Club. They're also going to be on February the 27th. They're going to be at the Allotment in Manchester, UK. They're going to be in Glasgow, Birmingham, Hove. I mean, there's several dates, okay, London, several dates in London as well as Camden. So those of you guys that are hanging out in the UK, you guys have a very special treat that's coming for you. You guys need to make sure that you hang out and learn about some Preston Mecco. And if you happen to do it because you heard about it here, make sure that you guys tell them that Dee from Radio Memphis said hey, you know, because again, like I said, I'm sitting here holding their CD and stuff, and now that we've got everything back in the system and stuff, I think I'm gonna take the CD back so I can listen to it some more about that. Alright, you guys have been hanging out with me, and of course, you know, like I said, that was a little special double shot right there. And in fact, I've been giving the gift of double shots, you know, for the last show of the season right here, of the year, for Radio Memphis Around the World. And of course, you know, we did a little bit of Preston Mecco right before. Before that, we were in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, with From Ashes to New with the song Crazy. And of course, you know that right there, there's another band that's all over the place and doing some crazy cool things. They are actually out and about. They're doing a show in Sands Bellum Event Center. And somebody is calling in, so hold on, let me go ahead and grab that. That's kind of cool. Radio Memphis, you're live.
Gee.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Junior Gregatus, I am hanging out trying to have a show.
Man, oh man, it sounds good. I was listening.
Yeah, yeah. Did you hear that last band I just played? What do you think?
Yeah, from the UK. I may have to go over there and see one of them shows. They look pretty good.
I know, man. It's just a three-piece band, too, man. Can you believe that?
That's pretty remarkable for a three-piece.
It is. I'm telling you, Junior, man, as soon as I got that album in my hand, you know, when the boys delivered it to me, I listened to it for 3 days straight. No joke. Front to back. And that's been a long time since I've been able to do that with an album.
For just about any album. Of course, my time was back in the 70s with Pink Floyd, but we'll talk about that later.
How are you doing, my friend? And happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's to you. We're doing good, you know, just still doing the farming thing, you know, since the retirement.
Yeah, I know. You're doing the farming thing and stuff. You know, and I got to sit there, as soon as I figured out it was you, I got to realize it's been quite some time since you and I have been able to catch up on air. It's been a long time.
It's been a couple of years.
Yeah, it's been quite a couple of years. So, I know you farm too. But I also know that you are able to keep your ear to the grind and stuff like that. Have you come up with anything good?
A lot of things happening in the music business nowadays. It depends on what you want to talk about.
Well, you know, come on. That's an open-ended question. And I just happen to know, you know, the general manager of the station, and I could put everything on hold just to find out.
Well, you know, you can do that. I mean, there's been it's pretty obvious if you paid attention to anything, especially since I've left. It's been a couple of years since I've left, you know, the record label and all.
Sure.
But there's been a lot of changes in the music business in the past year.
Okay.
A lot of, I'm sure you've read, there's been a lot of big names that have left major labels and went to other labels and took lesser positions for a reason.
They have.
And I'm not sure what's up, but, you know, if nobody's following that, I think they ought to be, because I think something's big is going to happen in the music business this next year with all this moving around that's been going on.
There's been a lot of moving around, you know, Junior, and it's kind of funny that you even bring some of that up, you know, because that's kind of one of the things that I do follow, and, you know, in paying attention. And I don't know if you remember, you know, and there's been several years since you and I've been able to kind of sit on a stoop and have this conversation, but, you know, I always had this hang up, and I mean that in a good way when I say hang up. I always had this hang up that, you know, there was pieces of history that we all had to pay attention to. You know, and there was a real thing in me that always felt like I needed to kind of go back a minute to pay attention to some of the groundwork that had been laid before. You know what I mean? And I always said that we were going through a time period that was repeating itself when the indie labels, you know, were making their break. We're talking late 70s going into the 80s. You know what I mean? And I really just think that those times are starting to repeat themselves in that sense. It's just new platforms, new things are, you know, kind of coming into play here. But, you know, one of the things that I'm trying to kind of, you know, impose on, you know, some of the artists, you know, that get to tune in and listen, and some of the, you know, people that we get to represent here on Radio Memphis as far as in our music and being able to play, is that, you know, you have that opportunity to really kind of pay attention, because in all actuality, the roadmap has already been laid out to an extent. You know, I mean, yes, you know, things are a little bit different in terms of, you know, with the internet and you know, and some of the platforms. But I think the idea of what it is that you need to do, you know, is still there as far as a treasure map, if you will. But the fact that you bring up the people that are moving around, it was that was quite an interesting thing for me, you know, to pay attention to, and see, because I've noticed a lot of, you know, a lot of guys, you know, kind of swapping seats, and then it looks like they, oh my God, it's like, oh my God, they got demoted. But I don't think that's what's going on. You know, I really don't think that's what's going on.
It's funny because, in particular, just a few people who are actually like vice presidents of divisions of labels actually moved from one country to another country to be like the manager of the A&R department.
Hmm.
And you know, that's originally where they started out before they were put into that position at another label. So some of them are actually going back to the labels that they started with and resuming their position that they were with, like, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago.
See, and there's a thing, there's something to be said for that. I mean, I've said this once or twice before on this show, because I know you get to pay attention. I know you get to tune in from time to time. And, you know, I like to do some industry stuff along with the interviews and all this cool stuff and cool music. And I said this, you know, it was really almost not too long ago about I almost feel like that the kids, us kids, have had the music industry in our hands for way too long. You know what I mean? It's almost like your parents take your toy away from you because you treated it bad. And you almost have to get some of those people kind of back in the position where they made their most magic, you know, to kind of go, okay, this is what it is. Because, you know, for me, at the end of the day, no matter what platform you're listening to music on, or you're listening to radio on, or you're watching videos on, you know, no matter, you know, what's going on, you know, at the end of the day, it still has to be great music, you know, and it still has to be, you know, great relationships, and it still has to be great business and stuff, and that's the part that doesn't change. And so that's kind of the thing with watching these people kind of roll around. It's almost like, okay, mom and dad are back. Oh my God, we're in trouble. You know, but I mean that in a good way. You know what I mean? It's almost like, you know, they're still here, so they're almost going to be able to kind of help set the ship straight. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm being out of the business for so long. You know, I don't get to keep up with everybody as much as I used to. But
right,
there's definitely been some changes. You know, I mean, I pretty much just wake up in the morning and farm and go to bed at night. I have to deal about flying around the world and being at some record label's office somewheres and all that good stuff anymore.
Well, that's kind of funny. And ladies and gentlemen, for those of you that are there tuning and listening right now, I am actually hanging out with a dear friend, you know, Junior Krogatis, who has got quite some insight and stuff, also having been in the business and being you know, quite the guitarist and, you know, artist himself, as well as being part of the business. It's funny you say that, though, because I think you're one of those that's kind of wired, though, like some of these other people that we're talking about that have changed seats and gone to, you know, kind of gone back home, if you will. You know, you're kind of wired, though, that if you just put your ear to the grind for 1 second, or you just kind of look at something, you kind of already have that idea of where things are right now, you know, just by virtue of your experience. I mean, wouldn't you say that?
Pretty much. You can kind of see, get an idea by, you know, what record labels are doing and who they're firing and hiring and moving,
kind
of get an idea what direction they're going in. But, you know, really, I guess would be the ultimate plan would probably be not knowing exactly what they're going to do. I mean, I still talk to several people in small groups, you know, and everybody, I've been to several shows and everybody's like, you know, they're speculating on what's going to happen, but, you know, no one really knows.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, one of the things that, you know, we always kind of rattle around in our head here, you know, at the station and stuff, and you know, with things that I always talk with Rick, you know, on, you know, kind of what's coming down. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we do something even more so than just obviously be a radio station. Those of you that are tuned in, you guys know that, because we do so many other different things as far as media and production. And so we're always trying to find, you know, the edge of getting in and being where you're supposed to be. And, you know, one of the things that we kind of tend to, going back to the idea that everything has gone back to the beginning, you know, the end of the 70s, beginning of the 80s, you know, the independents are on the rise. I was going over some predictions, you know, how everybody's got their music predictions, what's going to happen for the next year. And it's right. one of the sites, and I have to remember which one I was looking at. It was so funny to me because one of the sites said it. They were like, the independents are on the rise. The independents take over, and it's going to be one of those things where they, you know, it winds up, you know, that history does repeat itself. And I sat there and I read the statement for the longest time going, duh, you know. And at the same token, you know, one of the things that I think that everybody also needs to kind of pay attention to is that, you know, we're an independent radio station. We support our unsigned and our indies, and that's what we do. And we also get to have cool relationships with, you know, some fantastic people that are in the industry and some fantastic people that have done great with their careers and actually, you know, kind of come back in and foster and throw out advice. At the same time, you know, I sit on the fence because I tell everybody that there's a whole ecosystem going on here, so we all have to make this relationship with each other. And if everybody pays attention to the past, yes, those indies, you know, they did such fantastic jobs and everybody was to break open, but even at that point, you know, they were only able to go so far, you know, so they wound up, you know, having to make some great relationships. And I'm trying to make everybody understand that it was a great thing that they made these relationships as far as with some of the majors and stuff to be able to propel certain artists' careers, you know.
Well, that's true. But when you say all that, and I've noticed a lot of the indie labels have been talking about, you know, they think that they're going to, you know, take over a majority of the business,
right,
of the music business. But
right,
I don't know, with the way that these labels are moving, the big labels, you know, there's only about 7 or 8 big labels left in the world.
Right.
Most of them have been consumed by 1 or 2 companies. You know, it's, I think that they're realizing now that when everything started going to the internet and the downloads and the streaming and all that, that they had to do something to change the way things are. A lot of these companies are coming out. I've noticed there's been talk of their own music channels.
Yes.
For their artists. I don't know if that's going to be like a subscription fee per month. You know, you can subscribe to, you know, ABC record label and, you know, you'd be able to stream, you know, 10,000 different albums or whatever. But I do know that I don't think it's going to be the indie labels in 2019 that make the difference. I think it's going to be the major labels. And it may not all take place in 1 year, I don't think. I think it would have to go over the course of a couple of years, but they would have to start somewhere and be able to do something. And I think that 2019 is going to be the year for the big labels to come back and start signing people, which they've already had this past year. I've noticed that there's some bunch of A&R research grants that have been granted, and they have signed you know, a bunch of indie bands to be on major labels this past year.
Sure, sure.
So I have a feeling that the direction that they're going to go is that the major labels are going to take this over and control it. Not necessarily put the indie labels out, but I think they're going to dictate a little bit more fairly than having the indie labels try to control it.
Right, you know, and I guess, Junior, you know, when you put it in that sense, too, I mean, and of course, everybody that's listening and stuff, you know, sometimes, you know, everybody's going to have an opinion, and everybody's going to either, you know, be real supportive, or they're going to get, you know, kind of on their hind legs about it, you know what I mean? And it's funny that you bring all of this up, because if you kind of look everything across the board, you know, there has been a lot of conversation, and there has been a lot of press, there's been a lot of blogs, there's been a lot of, you know, posts, you know, on boards and stuff, you know, just it's almost kind of like kidney punching, you know, the major labels, you know what I mean, to a certain extent, just so that, you know, you got these indies that are doing so fantastic, and again, you know, Big Machine Label Group, okay, you got, you know, you've got Concord, you've got, you know, all these different, you know, all these different people that are you know, massive players, you know, in the industry and stuff, and I don't think everybody, you know, looking at it, you know, from the outside, they're like, okay, they're on their own, they're doing their thing. These guys aren't on their own. They're not doing their own thing. They still have to have, you know, they still have to have an alliance. They still have to have a relationship. They still have to have contracts, you know, with like the Universals, you know, the Warners, and, you know, and the bigger groups, you know what I mean, in order for certain things to happen, right?
Exactly. I mean, they have to have somebody, they definitely have to have a big label behind them, because that's the only way that they're going to be able to do whatever they're trying to do, either fund it or try to promote something, some kind of distribution.
Right.
Something like that would have to be done by, you know, an ally, which would be a big label. I mean, I think Concord, didn't they put an office there in Memphis?
I know that they were working on that, and I know that under secret decoder ring under guys, you know what I mean, that they were. Mm-hmm. You know, we've been trying to sniff this one out. And when I tell you, it's funny, because, you know, for Memphis, and, you know, and it's so funny because we're talking about this all around the world. I mean, everybody on the planet loves Memphis. They love, you know, they come here. They've got artists that come here. Everybody's, you know, that we breed talent here, you know. And right. We in Memphis, we talk about this heyday from the 80s to the 90s, you know, as far as things that were, you know, coming out of this town and people getting signed, and, you know, people going on tour, and, you know, people showing up on, you know, on soundtracks, and, you know, motion pictures, and, you know, all of it. And, you know, then everything kind of got weird and crazy, and it was like, you know, the wild, wild west, and destitute, and, you know, and very, very separated, and all of it. And there's been probably in the past, you know, I know good 5 or 6 years that, you know, things have been really, really kind of building back up, you know. And I've always told everybody, I said, look, you know, when you start seeing some of the industry start kind of trying to make their way back, make alliances, you know, with us, you know, as far as the city, because Memphis is the biggest independent town on the planet. We've remained an independent sector, you know, no matter what's going on. You know, our job has been to breed talent and push them up to the next level, you know, because you can't get what we got here, you know. And it's happening, and you know this when you've got record engineers that are starting to make their way back, You know what I mean? You know this, you know, we know this when we hear about, you know, certain individuals that are flying, you know, under the guise of night, you know, to get here so that they can work with some of the recording studios, or they can work with some of the individuals that are located here. You know what I mean? This is the coolest place to, this is the coolest place to hide, you know, when you're trying to get something done. You know, and I did notice that there was, you know, there was a big alliance, you know, which I thought that really, really needed to happen. There was a big alliance that wound up happening between, you know, Nashville and Memphis. And one of the things that happened this past year was them being able to make, you know, grants and make allowances, you know, for studios that were going to be working on, you know, a video game soundtracks, motion picture soundtracks, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, media work. And being able to, you know, pull in these local people within the particular towns that the projects are working on, you know, and actually give them a shot at being paid and work at it. And this was an alliance that was made with Nashville and Memphis. And so the fact that that happened, you know, is telling me it's like, okay, everything is starting to buzz. Everything's starting to, you know, surround. And there's a lot of things that are going to be popping out of this town. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people that are coming here, you know, for that. So, you know, when you're talking about the, you know, as far as the alliances with indies and you know, majors and things like that, you know, everybody has to coexist in the same, you know, at the same dinner table. That will never change. You know, you can't, you know, it's like you can't have light without dark. You can't have, you know, you can't have, you know, one without the other. You know what I mean? Right. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. Especially if you are trying to, you know, propel careers. And the thing that a lot of people, you know, and this is one of those hard lessons. Nobody wants to hear that. You know, when you're talking about the Taylor Swifts and the Adeles, you know, and those, you know, those type, and the Beyoncés and, you know, all of them, you know, we're talking the top 2%, you know, there's a lot that goes with that, you know, and there's a reason why there's only the top 2% that make it that way. You know what I mean? Not to say that people don't make a damn good living, you know, being in the, you know, being in the, you know, the lower 8% of that 10, you know what I mean? But,
right.
Yeah, just, there's a lot of things brewing around, and, you know, we're floating around watching it all happen, you know, trying to make some cool radio. Well, I know
you have to remember at the same time that this is trying to explode, and you have the biggest media company in the United States filing bankruptcy,
you know. That's a sore subject, not really with me.
I understand, but
I'm good with it.
Is if they do file that and they lose those radio stations, there's an outlet there that some of these major labels and indie labels won't have to
yes.
be able to provide the music to, you know, the listener.
Yes. You know, there has been, okay, so what, maybe the past, you know, hard, I mean, solid, you know, three to five years max, but I'd say three. With, you know, you're talking about Sirius, you know, you're talking about, you know, as far as those services, you know, and certain elements as far as terrestrial and stuff, where everybody's getting crazy and getting the play and stuff like that. And it's only been taken so far. Now, mind you, remember something, that unless you're paying a subscription, you know, for those services, okay, you're not necessarily getting that. So there's a sleight of hand there in there for me. You know what I mean? When you've got relationships with media companies and you've got relationships with subscription fees, regardless of what they and they've been pretty good, because we have some of our own artists that we play here that have their stuff that are played on like Sirius. You know what I mean? And they have been fantastic about, you know, they, you know, have X amount of money that has actually gone back to, you know, for artists, you know, for payment and, you know, all this other stuff, and, you know, and it's verified, and so, you know, kudos to them. You know, I don't want to, you know, take anything away from that, but that being said, there is a concept of, you know, services that were made available to people, the general public. You know, what we do as radio was meant to be, you know, a public service thing at the very beginning. You know what I mean? And it was supposed to be, you know, it was supposed to be benefited through, you know, through advertising, on, you know, commercials and ads, you know, and things like that. You know, it was never to get money from all these other sources. And there is a time, you know, that somewhat of that idea, you know, kind of will come back into play. Now, as far as platforms and stuff, you know, yes, I have heard, you know, some of the A&R, you know, groups and stuff. And some have reached out, some of the management groups, you know, some of the promo and management groups for these guys have reached out to me, you know, on the lower levels, just to kind of, hey, will you check this out? Hey, will you, you know, play this artist? Hey, tell me what you think. Hey, will you write a, you know, remark? You know, will you, you know, send a letter? You know, all of this. And I know that, you know, in that, you know, they've got to make sure that these people, you know, garner, you know, some type of play. And everybody has gotten real crazy about the word data. You know, like you've got to get X amount of streams, you got to get X amount of spins, you got to X amount of plays. You know, and everybody's gotten really kind of pissy about it. But I'm wanting to tell everybody you shouldn't, because that's never changed. You know what I mean? When we had radio and stuff, everybody was wondering, you know, if you charted. You know what I mean? If you were on the Billboard 100s, if you were whatever. I mean, the business is all about data. You know what I mean? And how well you perform. You know, that's not changed. You know, the platforms and the models have changed, but the idea has not changed. So these A&R are doing exactly what it is they're supposed to be doing, and they're garnering, you know, making sure that their artists are getting, you know, exposure, and they're getting plays, you know, and they're getting, you know, possible fans, and they're going to get somebody to buy a ticket, you know. So yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's gonna. That's why I said I think 19 is going to be a growing period for a lot of the major labels, because they're going to try to, with all the movement that's happened in the past year and a half.
Right.
You know, I think this will be the year that they try to physically try to put something into motion. But at the same time they do that, you know, some of the media outlets that are either in bankruptcy or going to be filing bankruptcy, they have to figure out, you know, what they're going to do with those type of things in order to, you know, get past that and keep going, whatever their plan is. But I think they do have some kind of plan, something planned, and
right.
I think it's gonna take a few years. It's not gonna happen like they're gonna release it Monday and it's gonna be done by Friday. I think it's gonna take a couple of years, and I think it's gonna be good for the consumer. I mean, this year one of the big things in 2018 that happened in the music business was, you know, the president signed for the changing of the royalties for the artists.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up, because, you know, for somebody like me, okay, when I'm looking at something like that, mm-hmm. it's like, if every time you read it, is it just me, or do you get something different out of it, like, every time you read it?
Every time I read it, I usually have to read them, like, 10 times, because, and the thing of it is my problem is, it's just because it's on one source, I usually like to read 4 or 5 sources, and then you kind of read them each again, and then you kind of get a little bit better picture. But no, I usually have to read them several times, and I get something different each time to really get the full impact of it.
All right. So that was a big thing, you know, as far as this go around. Now, when it happened, it was like, you know, it was a mini victory, okay, to an extent, you know, for that moment in time. And then afterwards, you know, everybody started, you know, as everybody does, you know, starts breaking it apart, you know, and picking at it, you know, and pulling the scabs off of it, you know, and everything. And, you know, and everybody is kind of, you know, kind of left a little, you know, a little unsettled about it. I mean, what do you think?
Well, of course, you know, when a bill like that is proposed and signed, that there's some people that it doesn't benefit.
Right.
There's no bill that's going to benefit both sides.
Right.
Or how many other sides you want to call it. But there's probably some people a little bit pissed about it. I think the artists are on the way of possibly getting what they deserve. I mean, you know, we have an artist that had 66 million, 65 or 66 million plays on YouTube, and I think they got $1,200.
Oh, my God.
You know,
I wow. Mean,
you know, you had that many on the radio. I mean, the millions, but you know, I mean, $1,200 after 65 million, I think it was. But you know, it's just, you know, something has to change. I mean, because, you know, those companies, they charge high premium for their advertising.
Sure.
They charge high dollar for their content through subscriptions and stuff like that.
Yep.
But then when it comes to pay the artist or the group, you know, they're like, well, we can only give you 1/100th of a penny for every 10 plays you get.
Right.
So, you know, I think it moved in the right direction. Now, the way that I understand the bill is that it comes up again sometime in 2019 before June. There's actually a second part to that that's supposed to be adapted to the first part.
Okay.
And we'll have to see what's included in that.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what it is, but I do think it was good for the artist. I don't think it really worked out that well for the record labels. Some of them, depending on if they own the music or not, but I think it went really well for the artist.
Well, you know, and at the end of the day, that's kind of what we hope for to an extent, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
At the same time, now, the deal with the copyrights and stuff like that, you know, because there was a question on, you know, like, who was going to be the gatekeepers of all of that. Right. And so there was supposed to be this magical board, you know, of people that were hand selected that were supposed to be somewhat, you know, unbiased and not no conflict of interest as to being in those positions. Does that make sense?
It does. And what it was is originally, I believe, now I'm not for certain, I'm just from what I'm recalling off my memory, but I believe originally that part of the RIAA was going to do that, and then they said they wanted somebody a little bit more unbiased in it, so then they picked a group of people. Now, I'm not sure if that announcement comes out in the first quarter of 2019,
right,
or whatever, but I'm hoping they pick some really good people, because you don't need to pick people that own manufacturing companies or car companies to be on the board. You need some musicians or somebody like me who's went to Berkeley and
right.
graduated and things like that.
Right.
You know, and that seems to be the problem. You know, one of the great things that everybody bitches about is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because none of those people are actually musicians who vote.
No.
You know, I mean, you have one on there that actually owns a cab company. So, you know, I mean, other than playing a radio in a car, they, you know, or whatever they're playing in the vehicles, I mean, they really don't know about it. So they need to be a little bit more career oriented with the people they put in there. Like, they need to put some people in the music business, not necessarily artists, but, you know, they can put a couple producers and, you know, maybe some A&R people.
Right.
You know, there's some division presidents would probably be a good pick for it.
Right.
But you definitely have to have somebody who knows a little bit about the music business to say what the artists are entitled to. You can't, you know, you can't go to the butcher and say, what do you think he ought to get? Well, I'm only making 10 cents for every pork chop I make, so he should only get a penny of that.
Right. There's not a way.
Fair. You know, I think you need to have people that are in the business that are actually going to serve on the board and be able to do that correctly.
Well, you know, Junior, the funny thing is that when you bring that up, I mean, you realize how scared everybody gets when that happens, mm-hmm. because they have these, you know, these visions, you know, of stuff that, you know, in the past where, and I hate it because I know different, you know, I know different, but there's a very, very, you know, shady, you know, negative light that is, you know, played, you know, on the, you know, the record business and the recording industry and the music business on being able to be the ones that kind of step in and be the decision makers, because they always thought that they're the ones that kept all the money. They're the ones that took the, you know, that made the 10 cents and only paid a penny out, you know? And so as far as the, you know, the assurances and stuff like that of what people get, I think one of the things that has to happen here is that, and it's happening, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's come, you know, leaps and bounds, you know, in 8 years, you know, the 8, 9 years that we've been doing this here at the station. It's come a very far way. But I don't think that, you know, people understand, you know, the economics of being in the business. I don't think they understand, you know, the cost of being in the business. I don't think they understand, you know, what it takes, you know, in terms of when you're in the business that you have to have a team of people, you know, that are looking out for your best interests and that can, you know, kind of steer and guide you and stuff for you to be able to truly concentrate on what it is that you're supposed to be doing. You know, it's the old adage of if you're given 20 things at the same to do all at the same time, there's no way you can master one if you got to do all 20 of them at the same time.
Right.
You can do a little bit of each and, you know, and kind of get away with it. That's great, but you'll only get so far. And I think that you know, one of the things that, you know, some of the education's come out. I've seen a lot of things, you know, through management groups, you know, that have formed. management groups that have formed from people that originally had labels or were a part of labels. It was almost like a lateral move that I paid attention to, you know, and people that are part of, you know, P&R marketing groups that were part of labels and stuff. And it's almost like the industry to me is resetting itself because they do want to be that gateway. They do want to be that doorway for these, you know, for individuals and bands and artists and entertainers and stuff to walk through, you know, and it's you know, the education part, I think, is more and more, you know, more than ever important, I think. I mean, that's me.
Well, that's true, you know, and I know when I was, for my retirement, I know when I was getting out that, you know, there was a lot of things that were going on that they were trying to change between that. And the problem is a lot of these labels, you know, have bought other labels, so they've assumed or acquired a bunch of debt.
Right.
You know, it's a bunch of properties that they're paying, you know, taxes on.
Right.
There's some of these, well, this was 4 or 5 years ago, but some of the labels had 3, 4, 5 thousand extra employees. You know, so their debt ratio was very high. And I know that they're trying to take that and change a little bit to make it better, but one of the things about all that you said that makes me mad is that, you know, everybody thinks the record label was making money. That's not necessarily true.
Right.
You know, like, it's a little different now.
Okay.
You know, 25 years ago, everything was transmitted. It shot up a pole and went out a receiver and it went to a transmitter and then you picked it up on your radio. It's a little different now. Now there's this little wire in your wall called Ethernet or, you know, wireless or whatever that goes through there. So now there's Wi-Fi and there's data. So not only is the record label, or not necessarily the record label, but the radio station paying for a signal coming out of a tower,
mm-hmm.
Now they're paying for, you know, for an app for a phone or to be on TuneIn or,
mm-hmm.
You know, something like that. And then they have to pay for all the data.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, you know, it makes it a little bit different. They still have to pay the royalties per song. You know, how much is, you know, played per, I don't know how they rate it now, but it used to be per 100,000, I think it was.
Right.
But so you have all that. So it, even though it's changed a little bit, but also the cost has changed. And I don't know about you, but I mean, like in the past couple of years, I mean, my internet and cable and everything just went up like, I don't know, 10 or 20 bucks.
Oh, we're... That's funny you bring that up, man, because apparently we're going to wait until, like, obviously after the first of the year, because we need to go toe-to-toe with our internet company, because what we're paying is absolutely, it's criminal.
Yeah.
It's criminal. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, and unfortunately, let's take Radio Memphis for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Radio Memphis is small, and I'm just going to use a number here, so don't take me serious, but say you're paying $500 a month.
Right.
You guys have to play a lot of music, but also play a lot of advertising,
right,
in order to make that $500 up just to pay your internet. Now, that's not including your light bill. That's not including any kind of maintenance on your machines, a server
or
a drive or anything like that.
No, the building.
You're also paying for your rent.
Right.
You know, anything that happens during the month. You know, if you have ABC band come down, you know, you throw a little party tray out, you know, some drinks or whatever.
Right.
So you know, you have all that. So people don't understand that. You think, oh, yeah, it's just on the internet, it's nothing. But even though it's on the internet and you're sending it out, it takes more data to send it out than it does to receive it.
It takes more data. And, of course, then you've got all of the insurances and stuff that we're having to purchase and pay for because we're dealing with the internet. You know, we've got our backup systems and, you know, you've got the cloud stuff systems. You know, we've got, you know, certain aggregators and things like that that we've got in place, you know, in case, you know, something crazy happens, like, and it's happened. It happened over a holiday where everything crashed and we were like Frankenstein rebuilding, you know, a box, you know, on this, you know, console table, and bringing it back to life. And, you know, had we not had our insurances and stuff that we have to pay, a couple hundred, you know, several hundred bucks, you know, for, you know, on a yearly basis, just on one style, to make happen so that we can retrieve all of our, you know, data and information so we can go on about our day, we wouldn't be able to do that. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of hidden things, you know, behind that. And that's kind of the mindset that I get with everybody when I try to tell them to look at their career and look at their band and look at their music or look at it what it is that they're doing. You know what I mean? Time is money. Everything will cost something. You know, it's going to cost something, and you've got to kind of factor that in. The difference now, maybe, than back in the day when you were doing it, Junior, is that, you know, people probably were not as well informed. People were not as in tune. People were not did not have the availability to be as in tune to their, you know, their career. Okay, didn't have the ability to pop something up and have somebody notice it immediately. Okay, maybe that's a little bit different. But you know, what's also different, though, that's a big, big thing, is that they do have to pay attention to the business end of it, in order to, you know, in order to be able to protect themselves, if that, and making sure that they don't get screwed over, and making sure nobody takes advantage of them. If that's what's you know, ultimately happening here.
Right.
You know, looking at, you know, you, and I'm glad you brought those points up, you know, about, you know, some of the costs and stuff. Obviously, we love what we do. One. But, you know, Junior, the thing for me, watching all of this stuff, watching the industry, there are times when I just want to throw up my hat up in the air and go, man, screw it. I'm dying. I'm just going to go roll egg rolls. I'm just going to just go open an egg roll stand. And there are some parts of me that are so magical and so awesome. And there are so many different individuals that, you know, that I have followed or I have paid attention to. And I have gone into their history and just to see where they've started from as to where they're at now. And it has been just an amazing journey. And to see certain things come full circle, there's a part of me that goes, I can't miss this. You know, I can't miss any of this, because I sit and I'm able to see all of these artists and all of these people. And, you know, at the end of the day, we have access to some great songs. We have some access to some great talent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where, you know, and if anybody's listening and you're paying attention, you know, that live show, man, that live show has got to bring it. That live show is what's going to hook it. That live show is what's going to pay those bills. But it's also going to be, it's got to be one of those entertaining things. And there are so many people that are starting out to kind of come out and be like, oh my God, if somebody would just kind of show me what to do, or if somebody would just help me, or somebody would just like tell me if this is a good idea or not, you know, that would be great. And you know, and everybody's starting to kind of humble themselves and realizing that there's a reason why somebody's a record engineer. There's a reason why somebody is a PR person. There's a reason why somebody is a manager. There's a reason why somebody has a label. You know what I mean? They're in their lanes. That's what they do. And if you want to be that, you know, that next big hit, you know, that's, you need to be that artist, and you need to let those people do their job and let them do that for help you get there.
And it's true. You know, a lot of the artists or groups try to do it all themselves, and they just can't.
Right.
You got to have a little bit of, you got to have somebody with a little bit of professionalism in them to get you going.
Oh yeah. It's a look, you know, the best thing that happened to the business was social media. The worst thing that happened to the business was social media. You know, I mean, it was the best thing so that people could get out to their friends and people that they've met online and, you know, just, hey, check my song out. Hey, wait, you know, and it was the best tool for anybody that was looking at anybody to go, hey, I wonder know if I want to sign this band. You know, I want to know if these guys or these gals or, you know, this group would represent, you know, my new lipstick or my new product, you know, or I wonder if this song would go really good with this movie and stuff. And they get on these guys and these people's Facebook pages or their, you know, Instagrams or their, you know, Twitters, and, you know, they see these crazy, you know, these crazy rants and this crazy remarks and this crazy stuff. And I've done it. You know me, I'm a stalker. I've done it. I look at stuff, I'm like, you know, I love the music, but I don't know if I want to talk to them, because I don't know how they're going to react, you know? People are going to say we're stifling, you know, the individuality. No, I'm not. Not at all. Because these are the same individuals that say they want to be rock stars. These are the same individuals that say they want to tour the planet, you know, and they want to take everybody by storm. And, you know, what everybody has to understand is that in order to be able to do that, that you have to, you know, you have to be appeasable across the masses, you know. You have to be able to talk to a mom. You have to be able to talk to a kid. You have to be able to talk to a black person, to a white person, to, you know, a Chinese person. You have to be able to talk to somebody who under normal circumstances wouldn't listen to your style of music, but you have to engage them and have them be interested in what you've got going on, you know? And the license to be able to post your personal diary online has really done a lot of people not done a lot of favors. On the flips,
that's a big thing nowadays.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, I mean, I have to say, okay, so everybody knows that, you know, that Dee's been off of her day gig. So I've actually, you know, actually got some time off at the day gig, which was kind of cool. I almost went postal. So I actually put two posts up that were actually kind of personal behind the scenes, and it was just me saying Merry Christmas, and it was a picture of, you know, of my mom celebrating the fact that the fourth generation has arrived into our family. So, and I know my family's tuned in and stuff, so I love you guys. You know, give the baby a kiss for me. What's funny is that, you know, I don't do that. You know what I mean? It's kind of one of those things where, you know, I don't like to post, you know, personal stuff. I don't like to put up there where I'm eating, what I'm doing, what I got going on, or, you know, unless it's fun or quirky, or, you know, I'm making fun of something. But I mean, I don't I'm mad at him, or, you know, we broke up, or I don't do any of that, you know? And, you know, and there's people that get on there that start calling people out, or there's people on there that start, you know, start discussing things and having opinions about something they have no idea or know nothing about, you know, and forming an opinion. And with such a charged, you know, community, you know, with what we've got going on, just, you know, historically, politically, you know, everything. I mean, this stuff gets out of hand, you know? A lot of people don't understand that when you're looking at things like that, you know, you've looked at stuff like that, Junior. I've looked at stuff like that. I know several groups and organizations, you know, that look at stuff like that. You know, they got to sit there and think in the head, okay, you know, can I trust these people to behave in a certain manner? And I hate to say it in that essence, because there is a individuality is going to make something different for somebody. You know, it is going to be what makes them noticed. You know what I mean? But there's a way to do that. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, what's the first thing they need to do in order to get their career on track?
Right.
And I say, it all depends on what you post on social media. I'm not even looking at your social media, but I can tell you now, if you're anybody on anybody's radar, the first thing they're going to do every day, or maybe several times a day, like a good A&R person probably has it cut out 3 or 4 times a day where they're either somehow friended you or they're liking one of your social medias and they're following you and they're just seeing what you post, you know, and they're waiting for you to do that one post, and then they're going to take a screenshot of it,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to see how long it's up there,
mm-hmm.
and then at that point they'll be like, you know, well, we don't really want this person. They, you know, there's too much out there. So there's people that do that, you know, they'll rant and they'll do everything underneath the sun and call people out, and then 10 minutes later they pull it down. Once you type it, it hasn't gone nowhere. Once you hit send and it's on the internet, it's there's billions of people who have access to that.
That stuff, look, it's been up for 2.5 seconds. It has done circled the planet 20 times. Already, and it's so funny because you know, for just not without going into what else I do, you know, in my world, but I deal a lot of stuff as far as with with privacy, you know, and things like that, and I laugh because I tell people, especially when I do some classes and stuff, I'm like, do you know about the cloud? Do you even know who the cloud is? You know what I mean? It's like, have you ever met the cloud? No. Well, regardless if you think you've saved it or not saved it or erased it or pulled it out, guess what? The cloud's got it. You know what I mean? And if the cloud's got it, there's a lot of people that have it. Okay? You know, and we always make a big joke about that. But you're right, you know? And of course, I don't want to sound like we're browbeating. We're not, you know? There are some people that are absolutely just fantastic, you know, at what they do. And, you know, you'll never know that they are skipping a beat. You know, you'll never know that they're having a bad time behind closed doors. You'll never know that they don't have enough money. You know what I mean? You'll never know that they are, you know, having to, you know, take care of family, or, you know, that they're, you know, they're going on hard times. You know, what you know is that they are fantastic at what they do. They are entertaining. They put out great music. You know, they're great entertainers, and they do what they need to do, and they know how to, and they talk with everybody, and they get along with anybody who comes across their path.
You've been listening to the Music Industry Air Check with Dee. Now remember, you can only get air check like this on Radio Memphis.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.